MoneyWeb now on The Money.
The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Radomator from Mark, Head of Systematic Solutions, StanLib. Radomator, appreciate the time today. Equity investing. I think when I say equity investing, folks are, yeah, we know what that is. But there are different strategies and methodologies that can be used in the process. Can you give us some examples of those?
Hi, Simon. Yes, and thank you for having me. Simon, so I think what is really interesting is I was watching the Olympics last night.
Yeah.
The one sport that really attracts me, it's just so beautiful and medieval, is the sport of fencing.
Yeah.
And as I watched these two fencers, I could see the different strategies applied by the two competitors. And the one was certainly very active, very aggressive, and very attacking. And the other adopted the very passive strategy, sort of stepping back and waiting for the other to attack. And I think there's a very nice analogy there to be used to the world and to be applied to the world of equity investing. So I think the biggest divisor in the world of equity investing is exactly that. So the first is distinguishing between active investing and passive investing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just to elaborate a little bit on what passive is, it is when the weight of the stock in the portfolio is weighted by its value. So the biggest stocks tend to be a weighting in the portfolio. And maybe by use of an example, if you talk about Naspers, if you look at the number of shares of Naspers available on the JSE, and you multiply that by the price of the shares, you get to the market cap of Naspers. And if that is around about 10% of the total value of the stocks trading on the all share, it means that in a passive fund, the weight of Naspers would be 10%. Now, examples of such passive funds is like passive benchmarks is the top 40 or the all share. And importantly, these passive funds typically also serve as the benchmark for active funds. Now, that brings me to active funds. And what active means is that the weight of the stock in the portfolio moves away from that of the benchmark. So, for example, if Naspers was 10% in the benchmark and a fund manager holds a 12% position, that gives you an active weight of 2%. Now, within the world of active investing, there are two ways of investing actively. The one is what I like to call the discretionary way or the old traditional way or the way of the accountants. The other is the new way, the systematic way, or what I like to call the way of the engineers. And so before I elaborate on the differences between the two active strategies of the accountants versus the engineers, I want to highlight that I'm not saying that the one is better.
Yeah.
They are just different, and that is actually why they combine really well.
I take your point, and I particularly like the fencing analogy. I was also watching, and what struck me as well is that the big guy doesn't always win, and that really triggered to me. There are different ways of tackling the same problem, in a sense. But I cut you off. I think you were going to head to the sort of information being used.
Yes, exactly. So I wanted to talk about the way that the accountants and the engineers use these strategies. So discretionary portfolio managers or accountants make these investment decisions, and they do not necessarily follow a particular theory or rationale. If they did, they would be systematic or engineering portfolio mm-hmm. managers. So they tend to consume raw news and deeply analyze financial statements, but mostly rely on their judgment or intuition. They tend to focus on the edge cases, for example, anomalies in the financial statements, or trying to forecast whether the Fed is going to cut rates and which stocks will outperform should this occur. The systematic way, the way of the engineers, is much more process-orientated.
Yeah.
They tend to use their fundamental insights and market experience to identify lasting, long-term relationships in the market that drive stock returns. And they use technology on the same fundamental data sets that the accountants use, but they design a rational process that can be implemented in a repeatable way, like a production line.
I got you. And the one thing that stands out, and again, if we go to fencing, you know, fencing's everyone's got the same equipment, but they're using it different. And there's a sort of an investment nuclear arms race to get insights from. We all have the same data, but it's how we then use it and what we do with it.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. That is an important point you're making, because at the foundation of any insight lies data. And the really interesting thing about the underlying data that is used by both the accountants and the engineers is that it's for the most part the same. They both use company financial statements, balance sheets and income statements, stock prices and the news. It is just applied in either a more or less structured way. So at StanLib, for example, we use this data to try to find companies that are profitable with good growth prospects, and we try to buy these at attractive valuations. and therefore build a portfolio that is rationally and fundamentally better than the benchmark. But I think given the amount of data available in the world today, I would say that we are in an investment nuclear arms race to extract the most insights from the data.
Yeah, and that is the challenge. And your process at StanLib, I mean, is it an accountant's process? Is it an engineer's process to make decisions? What is the process you and your colleagues have at StanLib?
So at StanLib, we have a systematic process. So we follow the way of the engineers. And what we do is we are firm believers that the best performing stocks are those that are genuinely profitable, that generate cash earnings, have good growth prospects, and that one can buy at decent valuations. We just apply our technology and our production line to consistently and rationally build a portfolio that is fundamentally better than the benchmark. And that has stood us in good stead in terms of our performance.
Because that was going to be my next question. I mean, you've got the process there. And one of the things with investing is that there is the performance that measures us. And I'm imagining that performance indicates that the process works for you.
Absolutely. So if you look at our short-term performance over a one-year period, so to the end of June, we have actually generated alpha, so our performance over the benchmark of 5.5%. And over the medium term of 3 years, we've generated 3% of annualized outperformance. So that's every year we outperform the benchmark by 3%. And that number holds since inception as well. So quite a consistent outperformance that we've managed to generate using our fundamental insights applied in a rational and systematic way.
And at the heart of investing, if we're not outperforming, generating that alpha, I mean, with respect to those who don't, we should quit and just buy the index and go passive, because then at least we're not going to get negative alpha.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. So I think that what is important is the relative price you pay for the active risk that the fund manager is taking. So we would want our accountants, so the accounting portfolio managers, to build high conviction, highly concentrated portfolios that truly embody their best ideas. If that performance, they are certainly entitled to charge a higher fee on that. Mm-hmm. In terms of the systematic approach to active investing, you know, the amount of insights and intellectual property that goes into the design of such a process certainly results in significant active bets versus the benchmark, and that outperforms as well. And there's a negative correlation between these two different strategies of active investing that actually complements each other quite well. I'm not saying that there isn't space for an index holding as well as a core, but it's important that you pay for the amount of active risk that the fund manager takes.
I like that point. And it is understanding that process. And it goes back to the building blocks of an overall portfolio. We'll leave it there. That's Radomir Vermaak. He's head of Systematic Solutions. StanLib, appreciate the time.
The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.